We begin today reading from God's Word what Jesus said to Peter before it all went down. Luke 22. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." Can you imagine if it happened to you? The Lord Jesus looks you in the eye, calls you by name, and says, "Satan has asked God to sift you as wheat," which does imply that God gives the permission, and so the devil would try to shake you up, pressure you with temptation to turn away from Jesus. Would such words spoken by the one who knows everything stop us in our tracks, make the hair on the back of our necks stand up? Or would we, as Peter and the others did that night, pledge our loyalty to Christ in spite of what he had just said? In this true example of Simon Peter and his denial of Jesus, we have a word of warning, but also a word of hope. Once you realize the strength of the forces at work, who is doing what exactly, and how that applies to every temptation we face, we identify first the opponent, Satan, in his relentless quest to be the faith killer. He wants to put a target on your back, as he did with Simon Peter. Make no mistake about that. We can expect that he'll come gunning for you and me once he knows the weakness to exploit. If left to ourselves, if this is 1v1, devil v. believer, it's over. We can't win because we're not strong enough. But it doesn't have to be 1v1. 1v2, or even 3. I say 3 because God the Father, as well as Jesus, is directly involved in the temptations that come our way. The devil can't do anything against us unless he runs it by God first, who does more than grant permission. He sets limits on how far Satan can go, how much he can press. God has veto power, which makes 1 Corinthians 10 always true for you. God is faithful, Paul writes, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. With each temptation, God measures it and then gives you also a way out, the escape. The question, of course, is, do we use that as we should? In Peter's case, we know that he certainly did not. It's no surprise, though, given that Jesus said in prediction that the man would deny him 3 times, but he also said in advance that Peter would recover. This is more than the Lord knowing the future. Here we see the Savior loving his weak disciple to the very end, knowing the man's vulnerability, fighting for him before and after, It wasn't just the devil talking to God that day. Jesus was talking too, asking his Father to keep this temptation from killing Peter's faith. That sounds rather hopeful. Would God refuse what his Son was asking? Peter is not a special case. The Lord Jesus will do the same things for all of his disciples. As with Peter, we have an advance warning. In fact, and maybe a bit ironically, the Lord has used the Apostle Peter to tell us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Along with that warning, we have the rest of the Bible as the effective shield to diffuse every temptation, to repel every attack, provided that we use it. When we fail to do that, the Lord starts working overtime, I suppose, pleading in heaven for our survival, providing on earth our recovery, causing repentance in the heart. Jesus thankfully does not leave it up to us to resist successfully or repent effectively. To all the wounded in battle, he sends the Spirit as the medic from above. It is the Spirit in your hearts and mine causing us to remember our Savior's words, to have that sorrow over the sin committed, and then to land at the cross, clinging to his sacrifice as the certainty that God has forgiven us. So this battle is better than 1v2 or 1v3. Let's call it 1v4. Against the devil, the one, there's you plus God the Father, restricting the impact of every temptation the devil wants to bring. Add to that God the Son, arming you with his word and causing the Father to forgive you when you fall. Fourth would be the Holy Spirit, there to help before and after, leading us to recover every time we repent. If this battle is, by our own doing, 1v1, advantage Satan, and we become like Judas rather than Peter, that is something we should take seriously. But if you stick with your allies, advantage Christian, who has the hope of victory, namely the grace, truth, and power of God working for you and in you until the day when the battles are done and our victory in Christ is complete. Amen. We'll close today singing hymn 416, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Hymn 416, the first three stanzas.